Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Well, as you can see, we're going to cancel the Mighty Women dinner, but we're going to have the Mighty Women Arise. And it's going to be a beautiful time. I'm going to ask you to mark it on your calendars. And please try to be here on Friday and Saturday. What we're going to be presenting are linked together in what's being presented to you. We have a speaker, in which Mary's going to tell you. Mary and I are going to be co-MCs. And we even have a few things that are going to be happening with some ladies in the church that are already with us, and they're going to be doing some presentations, but also we have a speaker. And the other thing is that you don't have to, usually we cook and we bring dishes, you don't have to do anything. This is your moment to come, to be fed, to be encouraged, to be anointed, and be ready for what the future holds for all of us, because we all have a commission, but sometimes we're not working in that commission. And so we're gonna just help everybody learn what their gift is and then see where they're headed in that gift, because it's time that we move and we arise to who we are in Christ, and that we become the salt and light to those that we meet, no matter where we are, no matter what, whether we're working or playing or just enjoying ourselves. So I'm going to have Mary tell you a little bit about our speaker.
Morning. Our speaker, her name is Julissa Ochoa Buck. She is a Tucson pediatrician. She has graduated from the U of A Medical School. She's an amazing, bubbly personality. And she has spoken at other conferences and with other women's groups. She is going to be amazing. She's going to surprise all of you. And we have a few surprises in store. We're doing things a little bit different. We're shaking things up a little bit. We are trying to stoke the fires that you all have in you right now. I've never been to a church that is so filled with the Spirit like this one. But but ladies, we need to stoke those fires. We need to get you moving and rolling, and we need to get you standing up and doing what you are called to do. So Julissa is definitely going to help us with that and her teachings. So we're really excited. Please sign. There'll be a sign-up sheet in the back. And so if it's very important that if you do plan, please sign up. We are going to be doing like a head count just to see how we're doing. So we hope to see you all there. We'll be reminding you. And we all know where you park.
So thank you. Now we'll get back in. Thank you. We're going to go back into worship.
Okay,
thank you.
Keep going. Anyway, today is the first Sunday of the month. And, we always include communion. This is corporate communion on the first Sunday of the month. So we're asking the servants to come and distribute the elements to you. So as always, when you receive them, just hold on to them so that we can all take communion together. And I've told you before, sometimes it's a little hard to get those two little cups separated from each other, but just keep trying. They'll come apart. And so, anyway, just hold on to the elements, and I'm going to read a scripture as they pass out the elements. And this is out of Colossians 1, starting with verse 15. And it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on that cross. What a beautiful Jesus we serve, right? As soon as you get the elements, I would like you to stand with me so as we take the elements. And the word says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he said that after giving thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And today, as we take this little piece of bread, it's a symbol of the body of Christ. And I hope you understand that the body of Christ is more than just a piece of bread. It is a meaning for the healing of your body. By his stripes, it says that we were healed. And those things that are ailments to our bodies, that you would, as you take this, to agree with that word. And whatever it is that is ailing you today, just thank God that it will not remain. So please take the bread. In the same way, he took the cup. And we know that this is a symbol of the blood that was shed on that cross. The blood that came to cover our sins, to deliver us from every sin that has ever been committed or will be committed, past, present, and future. The blood that he shared on that cross was to deliver you from being condemned and to know that you have freedom. Please take the cup. Father God, thank you for the work on that cross, Lord. Thank you that you came. You came, Lord, to bring salvation, Lord, but not only for the salvation that you brought on that cross, Lord, but to show us what a kingdom citizen would look like, Lord, to show us who we are to be, Lord, as people see us, Lord. You demonstrated. You gave everything you had, Lord. When you said, your will be done, not my will, but your will. So thank you, Lord, for all that you did, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. And please remain standing as we go into worship.
As we go into this song, which is an oldie, but oh so goodie, right? You know, I just want us to think about how worthy of it all God really is, right?
Yes, Lord.
You know, we serve a God who's already taking care of everything for us. He really has. When he died on that cross, he paid a price and it was done, right? That's what I love so much about that new song is that it claims the finished that really is finished, right? See, he took care of things for us so that we could live with him one-on-one, right? But as we do that, there's a lot of times that us, by choice, we decide like, oh, but I'm going to do this, or oh, that doesn't quite seem to fit what I thought. But the truth is God's already taken care of every obstacle, every issue, every burden, everything that you feel like is a hangup. It's already done and taken care of. See, God's given us promises that we can stand on all the time, right? So we should always be in a state of victory. God, even when it feels like I'm low, I know it's for good. Even when it feels like it's rough, I know it's because you're doing something even better. When change feels uncomfortable or things feel weird, I know it's because you're moving me into something new. See, the kingdom mindset can be a game changer in your life. Understanding that what seems uncomfortable, if God says move, then move. If God says do it, then do it. If it seems scary or you're unsure, I guarantee you, do it anyways. See, we can see all over in the Bible people that had faith like none other, right? See, even I look at the Old Testament, I can feel it. So if I start crying, listen, in the Old Testament, God hadn't even paid that price yet. So they had to go through people to get to him, right? And they still knew that God's going to take care of it all. Abraham, let's even look at, gosh, there's so many, right? The big ones, Abraham, David, right? But then when we look at Joseph sold into slavery, gosh, so many stories where they just knew, I know who you are, God, and I know that regardless of what's happening, you got it. See, we live in a time where we can commune with God one-on-one, all the time, 24/7. Doesn't matter if you wake up all anxious in the middle of the night, you can meet with God in that moment, right? There's a huge difference. But sometimes we don't realize the gift we have in that we can commune all the time, that we can call on God 24/7, and that he's there, and that he's listening, and that he will give us what we need, right? See, when we start operating in the kingdom, we start realizing that he is so much more powerful than any thought, plan, or anything else that we could ever have for ourselves. And then he starts to take us down this road that might feel a little uncomfortable, but I guarantee you, if you start learning how to be obedient now, you're going to see this. Whew. All I can envision right now is like a dam breaking and water just gushing through. It's that same concept, right? It's a breakthrough in so many ways when you start realizing that there is nothing that you're doing that's better than what God can do. And that if you just listen to what he says, regardless of what other people around you think, regardless of your fears, regardless of anything that might be holding you back, you're going to realize that not only did you learn obedience, but you learned that he's the only thing that matters. He is worthy of it all. He's already taken care of all of it. Every single part. So if there is anything that is holding you up this morning, just lay it down. And let God do what he's going to do. Because he's already promised you great things. Great things. You know, there's going to be a point where we got to be okay being uncomfortable, right? I remember when God called me for this position, it was so uncomfortable. like, God, I've seen what my brother went through. I don't know that I want to do that. I like singing, but I don't want to be in charge of anything. See, sometimes your most unqualified moments can be such an area for building up and realizing that it was only God. See, that is where he can make things really work, right? When you know, I can't do this. See, I'm gonna make you all a little uncomfortable. But I wanna encourage you, even if it's one step out of the spot you're in, make yourself a little uncomfortable today and just let God do what he's gonna do. See, I am up here barely able to not like run around this building because I can feel God moving so much. And I can watch some of you guys stand there and be like, and you do you, but let God move. That's all I'm saying. If you standing still and not having any movement is how you give it all to God, then you give it all to God that way. But I want to encourage you that as we go through this right now, you give it all to God. Don't be afraid to lift your hands and worship the one who's in charge of your entire life. The one who's got everything in his hands. See, there is nothing better that you can do than day and night, night and day, worship the God who can do it all for you.
First Peter 5:10. The God of all grace will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Psalm 50:15. Call on the name of the Lord, and he will rescue you from all trouble. God deserves the glory. Thank you, Lord, for saving me in 1994. Thank you for the thing about restoration and redemption are not always a one time, one day, one moment time. Restoration and redemption are really a daily. God restores us daily. Yeah. God restores us daily. He rescues us. God rescued me. And I want to give him all the glory for that. I want to give him the glory. I want to give him the thanks. Thank you, Father, for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving me the strength to speak like I am right now. Thank you for giving me the strength to... I gave my testimony at the women of the Mighty Women on Tuesday night. God gave me the strength to do that. It was his strength, not mine. So praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. And let's in unison all together, let's all together say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, stand, raise your hands, worship the Lord. Hallelujah with us. Father, hallelujah. You're worthy, God. You are worthy, Lord, to receive all the glory and the honor and the praise, Lord. Lord, you said yourself, we can do nothing without you, Father. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that God, it is you. It is you that dwells in us, Lord. It is you that causes us, Father God, to enter into your presence, Lord. It is you, Lord. You deserve all the glory and all the honor, Father. We thank you this morning for what you've done. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. We thank you,
Lord, for washing away our sins, Lord. Father, we thank you for placing righteousness upon us, Lord. We thank you for it, God. We give you all the glory, all the honor in Jesus' name. If you believe that he deserves the glory, give him a loud hand clap. Come on, hallelujah. Glory, worthy of it all. Yes, Lord. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. God, you deserve the glory. Hallelujah. You deserve the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, guys. Glory to God. I forgot what I was doing. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can sit down this morning if you can. Isn't that right, Billy? If you can. Hey, how's everybody this morning? Aren't we enjoying some nice weather? Wow. Wow. I tell you what, the evenings are beautiful. The mornings are beautiful. Hallelujah. My wife is beautiful. Come on. Hey, I'm in a good place. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Tomorrow is my wife's birthday. Yeah. She's still 21. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I thought I had my message. You know how it is. I've told you this 300 times almost. I thought I had my message, but then right at the end, God said, no, I want you to do something different. And I said, different? I'm going to have you do something new. New? Yeah, okay. He goes, I want you to do the teaching on the Ark of the Covenant. I said, God, that's not new. Oh, you're talking new? That's not new. And he says, well, he goes, that's what I'm on. That's what I need. I said, okay. What do you want me to do the rest of this stuff? He didn't answer me. Praise God. Glory to God. So we're going to do what I know that God wants us to do. But I do know he wants us to look and think about the blood of Jesus this morning. He's amen to that. Amen. I mean, what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. No one else could do. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. Pastor John does such a good job at this every time we do it. Amen. And Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you're doing. God, we thank you, Lord, for the newness that comes every time we enter into your presence, Father God. We thank you, Father God. You've always got something new for us, something to speak to us about, Father. And this morning, Lord, as we get into your word and as we look at these things, Father, I pray that you would give each and every heart in here today something new from you, something hot from the ovens of heaven. Father, I thank you for the bread of life, Father God, that you're pouring even now into your people, Lord. God, hallelujah. Something, Father God. You're up to something, God. And I thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. God is always up to something. Can you say amen? He's not the same every day. He changes. I mean, he's an unchangeable God. He never changes, but he's always got something new. Can you say amen to that? And I was telling the folks this morning, the new that he has for us, you know, in Isaiah, he said something. He goes, I mean, I'm doing a new thing. Can you have me say amen to that? How many glad he's doing a new thing? Are you good for that? I mean, he's doing a new thing. But see, the new thing he's doing is actually a very, very old thing, but it wasn't done when he spoke it. When Isaiah spoke that, it hadn't been done. This new thing is the same thing that he had in store in the garden for Adam, that he would walk with the Spirit of God within him. Can you say amen to that? That he would walk and talk as a man of God on the earth, a son of God. Can you say amen to that? Okay, cheap amen, but that's okay. Amen. Praise God. That'd be good. You know, he intended mankind to live with the Spirit dwelling within us. That's his intent. And then went through all this, what we call the Old Testament, amen? Yep. And then on the day of Pentecost, he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell those that would believe. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And I'm glad he did that. Yes. Because without him, I wouldn't be here. Come on, man. Hallelujah. So Jesus here is about to, it's his last meal. Can you say amen to that? And it says this, verse 19, he says, and he took bread and he gave thanks and break it and gave to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. How many say amen right there?
Amen. So,
oh yeah, God. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also he took also the cup after. I'm sorry. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Thank you, Lord. Amen. I like what he said. The New Testament. The New Testament. The new thing that God was doing and what Jesus was bringing in. Can I tell you, Jesus was bringing in the kingdom. He walked around talking about the kingdom. This is the kingdom of God is like this. This is what the kingdom's about. The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Most of his preaching was about the kingdom because he was bringing something in that was new. First drove the Pharisees crazy. Is that right? He drove them crazy. Loco. Is that right? Is that the right word there, Johnny?
Amen.
Bunch of locos. They got crazy. How many know we're looking at crazy folks today? There's some crazy things going on out there. You know, amen? Yeah. Yeah. I'm not political, but I'm not crazy either. Yeah, crazy. But there's some crazy stuff going on out there. But I'll leave that there because it's not very good. He was bringing in the New Testament, is what he said, man, in his blood. So I want to do it. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Hebrews 9, verse 1. That's what it says. Verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Okay, we're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is the old thing that Jesus was getting rid of, and the new thing that was coming in was the kingdom of God. And the way things were done in the Old Testament, the way things were looked at, God was changing it. Can you say amen? Okay, that's right. That's fine. Verily, the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made, wherein was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. There was what they called an outer court. And then they built these two rooms, I guess, if you will. And in front of the two rooms, there was a big table where they would sacrifice and burn the offerings. And then the first room that they would walk into was called, the first sanctuary was the outer, first one, it says there was a worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made. The first was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. The first one's called the sanctuary. And it had the table of showbread, which the priest would make every day. They put new bread every day. And it's talking to you about going to the Lord for new bread every day. And there was a candlestick that was lit by oil, and it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit bringing light. Can you say amen? And so there was a candlestick, and then there was a place to burn incense where the aroma of the incense would rise up for the Lord. And so that table of incense was what we would call the prayer. Can you say amen to that? That's what that first room was about. And after that second veil, had to go to the first veil to get to that one, but after that, there was a second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Can you say amen? The holiest of all is the place that we want to be in. That's the place you want to be, in the place where the holiest of all is. Can you say amen? That is the place where the presence of God is. Woo! Hallelujah. The presence of God. Hallelujah. And then in that presence, in that room, in that behind that second veil, was the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was sitting. It was visited only once a year, unless they had to move. If they had to pick up and move, they'd take it all down, and they would handle it very gently. They would actually put poles on it to carry it. They wouldn't touch it. They'd pull the rings. It had golden rings. This is a homemade. Is that okay? Are you guys all right with that? Don't get offended at my ark today. I was telling Rosie, you know, I've done this a few times, and I probably ought to make one and make it look nice, you know. But Lord told me this last night. Why, God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to put a towel over a box. How's that? And the Lord said, hey, just talk about it. I said, okay, I'll do that. There was this ark. It was bigger than this. It was bigger than this box. And it was good size. I would say it would probably about this big over to that. And I mean, it's, the dimensions are in the scriptures, but it's, what we're going to talk about is what's in the box and what the box is for. The Ark of the Covenant was visited, like I said, just one time a year, unless it was moved. But they would visit it one time a year, and they would pour blood on what was called the mercy seat, the place for the propitiation, is what the Word of God says. But here's the things that it says. After the second veil, the tabernacle was the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer. And that's another place where they would burn incense to make the room smell good. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you take dried blood in there? I mean, you take blood in there once in a while, it's going to stink a little bit. Is that right? But this, I mean, but I will tell you, sin is a mess. It's a messy thing. And it is a damaging thing. It's a hurtful thing. And so all of this, I mean, the slaughter of all these animals, it's a costly thing for innocent animals to give their lives just to cover man's sin. Is that right? But this is how God just chose to deal with mankind at that time. So they had the golden censer that perfumed the room. And the Ark of the Covenant was overlaid around, all the way around, not with a towel, but with gold. Amen? It was overlaid with gold. And then wherein was, I forgot to do this before. Hey, take a break. Say hi to your neighbor. Say hello, neighbor. Say, man, it's good that you're here today. Praise God. Get rid of this. Yeah, I forgot to tell Rosie to help me out. Yeah, you know, she helped me this. She helped me with this. I got. In it was, it says what? A bowl of what? A golden pot that had manna. We're going to call this the golden pot. Can you see the golden pot? And it has manna in it. See the little crumbs in there? It had the bread, okay? It had that. That was in it. And then it had Aaron's rod that budded. This is a beautiful thing here. I grew this myself. Yeah, like I say, it happened pretty quick last night. So ran out, got a stick, pulled one of Rosie's brass flowers out of, I don't know what they're for. But anyway, this is representing Aaron's staff that budded. And the last thing it says in there, and it had the tables of the covenant. We're just going to call this. How's that look? Does that look kind of like the tables of the covenant? Okay, that's, you don't want to read it. It's about my best friend. Anyway, but true friends are those who warm me. Okay, anyway. But it had, those are the three things that were in the Ark of the Covenant. We just talk about why those three things in there. When the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, God told them, I'm going to take you to a place. And so that flows with milk and honey. I'm giving it to you for an inheritance. And how many know 40 years can seem like a long time to get your inheritance? Is that right? But they kept messing up. They kept not believing God. God would tell them one thing, and he'd say something to them, and the word they kept not believing what he had said. They wouldn't believe his word. So that's one of the reasons his word, the broken or the tables of the covenant, was set inside the Ark of the Covenant. There was another time when the people rose up and they said, you know what, we're tired of following Aaron and Moses. We're gonna pick our own leader. And Moses falls down on his feet, and the Lord says, well, I'm going to show them who the real leader is. Have every man out of every tribe, which was 12 tribes, and he said, have every man take their staff and place it inside of the tabernacle. And he told them, the staff, these are just sticks. Can you say amen? They're just sticks. And he says, place it in the tabernacle, and the man who sticks actually grows and buds and gives almonds will be the person that I have chosen, God's talking, that I have chosen to lead this people. So they all took their staffs and they stuck it in there. The next day they opened the doors, and Aaron's staff had not only budded and grew, but it also gave almonds. And it told people, this is the leadership that I have chosen, which they already have. Can you say amen to that? So here, the first one, they rejected the word. And now they had rejected God's leadership, God's leading, the way he wants to lead. Can I tell you, people all over the world today are still rejecting God's leadership. They call themselves Christians, but they will not do what God wants them to do. Can you say amen to that? That's not a good place to be. It's not. Rejecting God's leadership. So that was in the Ark of the Covenant. And then they had the manna. You guys remember the manna? Manna means what? Is it? Yeah. What is it? What is it? Yeah. And they had the manna. And when they first got the manna, it was good. Amen. They went out and they picked. They got so much, and they said, God said, hey, remember, don't pick it on the Sabbath day. So they didn't care. They liked it so much that they went out and picked it on the Sabbath day. And when they ate it, the Bible says they got sick, and it came out of their nostrils, and it was just a nasty mess. Can you say amen? Yeah. See, it's good to pay attention to what God says. There's little details in what God tells us. Can you say amen? A lot of details. So they had manna, and then they had manna. They had manna for breakfast. They had manna for lunch, and they had manna for dinner. And tomorrow, what's for breakfast? Manna. What's for lunch? Manna. What's for dinner? Manna. One day they made manna bread. Anyway, you guys don't get that. Anyway, they had manna all the time. They had it so much, they said, hey, you know what? We're tired of this stuff. Give us some meat. How many meat eaters in here like meat? We want meat, God. We want some meat. Well, God gave them meat, you remember? He dropped a bunch of birds around the camp. They went out and ate. They ate so much they got sick again. These folks are. I think they're ticking God off a little bit. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. So what they did is they rejected his provision. What he was providing for them, they rejected it. So that was in the tabernacle. I'm sorry, in the Ark of the Covenant. God was the one. If you read the Old Testament, you're going to find that God said, place that in the ark. Place that in the ark. Place that in the ark. God was telling him what to put inside this ark. I'm going to go on and read a little bit. I'm going to go back to verse 4. It says, which had the golden censer in the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak now particularly. I say, so I'm going to need a couple of angels here right now. Amen. Yeah. Rick, can you be an angel for me this morning? Come on. Yeah. Come on, Rick. Yeah. Tommy, come here, man. A couple of angels, man. I need a couple of angels. If you read the Old Testament, And you read when Moses was building the Ark of the Covenant, they built, come here over here, you're going to need to stand right here. And Tommy, you're going to have to stand on the other side of him right there. And yeah, there you go. And this is what these angels were. They actually had their hands up and their wings were up. And they're facing the mercy seat. Is that okay? You guys kind of get the picture? See how you like our angels? Pretty cool. Pretty cool angels. Pretty cool. Hey, you guys, man. Hey, put them up. Put them up. Come on. Yeah, we ain't done yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got these angels. We got these angels. And see, the Bible says we're two. By two or three witnesses, everything is established. That's what the Word of God says. So what God's got is two witnesses right here on top of this box, on top of this thing that's got all these things inside. So what God is doing, he's building a picture of what needed to be done in order for God to not see the sin that the people were doing. Is that okay? Keep those wings up, boys. Come on, everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Keep them up. This is good. I had to pick a couple of strong ones, man. Yeah. The last two I picked, I think they were almost done by the time. I'll be done a little bit. It won't take too long. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 Can we go a little higher? I said, no, I'm just kidding. Hey. Well, see, when God told Moses to make that, he told them, make sure you build it. Make sure you build it after the pattern that I showed you in the mountain. You see, God had showed Moses what the real mercy seat looked like that was sitting in New Jerusalem, that it was sitting in heaven. He showed him what it looked like. And he says, make sure you build it just like that. So here's these two angels. One angel, these angels are the witnesses of what's going on. So right now, what these angels are looking at, what are they looking at right now? Right now, come on, somebody. What are they looking at? They're looking at the sin that were the people transgressed in these three areas. Is that right? His provision, his word, and what? The manna. No, the manna was a provision. The authority. So here we go. Now, Pastor John's the best high priest that I know. Come here, brother. Come here, Pastor John. So then we had a priest, the high priest, that would come in. Come over here. There you go. That's a cup. Okay. All right. He would come in. He would take the blood of the sacrifice, and this only happened once a year, guys, only one time a year. And the high priest of that was there would bring this, the blood of the sacrifice, and he'd come on in, and what this guy did, he had little chingles when he came. It's like he was wearing spurs. They had a rope tied to him in case he... Unless he wasn't worthy, unless he did something wrong, and they had him tied up. They had him tied so that in case God killed him in the presence, they could pull him out. And he had bells on it so they could make sure he was still walking around in there. This is real. This is what they were doing. This is absolutely what was happening. So the high priest, I'm sure he's making those bells ring really hard because he's shaking. Right now, what these two angels are looking at is the sin of the people. So what would be happening? One angel would say, judgment. So you say judgment. You say, I agree. See, because they're looking and they're seeing that they're looking at the sins. Judgment. Say it again.
Judgment.
I agree. And then in comes the priest. And the priest comes in and he spreads the blood over the mercy seat. Go ahead and just let it hang over to you, John. There you go. Now these sins are covered. Is that right? These are the covering that was happening in the Old Testament. And the priest would turn around and he'd head out. and he's oh man, it's a good thing. Now these angels, one would say, mercy.
Mercy.
You say.
I agree.
Say it loud.
Mercy. I agree.
One more time. I agree. Aren't you glad? All right. Now Jesus. Now okay, we're good. We're good. Thank you. We'll go from there. Thank you, boys. Thank you. Good angels we got here. Amen. Amen. You need anything moved? Call the angels. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Set you up, bro. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna go on. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once a year, every year, not without blood, for he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. And then verse 8 says something very significant. It says, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way to the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. So this was, the Holy Spirit was bearing witness that the way into, why hadn't the way been manifest yet? Why wasn't it seen? Why? Because Jesus hadn't come yet. Come on, man. No, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. No. Yeah. No, yeah. Jesus hadn't come yet. Amen? Come on, man. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest, while the first tabernacle was still standing, that old tabernacle, which was a figure for the time then present. At that time, it was a figure. It was a showing. It was an example. Not everybody saw it. The priest saw it. It was a figure of the time then, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. This was the blood of bulls and goats, and the Bible says that sacrifice could not, all it could do was cover the sin so God wouldn't see it. That's all it could do. And it would open the opportunity for God to still deal with his people because their sins are covered. Is that okay? Because
yes.
God has always wanted to deal with people. He's always wanted to be involved with you and me. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad? He's always wanted to. Even from the beginning, from the foundation of the earth, he has you in mind. You're sitting here today because of what he's done. But this is the Old Testament. And it's talking about Jesus. Jesus told the Pharisee, he goes, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life. And he says, but they are they that testify of me. Glory to God. How many know Jesus is life? Our key verse today, we're going to call it the power verse. You can call it the power verse, the key verse. Could you put that up, Terry? It's Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. You see that? The life of the flesh is in the blood. And then he says, I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. This is where he's telling Moses this. I've given it to you to make atonement for your souls. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, I mean, see, and he says, the life is in the blood. Can I tell you that the blood, that blood speaks? Do you know that? When Abel was killed by his brother Cain, God asked Cain, where's your brother? And he goes, what am I, my brother's keeper? I don't know. God told them, your brother's blood cries out to me from the earth. See, blood speaks. That blood is speaking to God, saying, their sins are covered, God. The sins are covered. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Blood speaks. This is why God said, don't eat the blood. Do not eat the blood, because the life is in the blood. In the Old Testament, their life was in the blood. So don't eat it. Don't eat it. Pour it out. It's amazing to me when you see Jesus in the garden and he's asked his disciples to pray, and he's kneeling, and the Bible says that he is sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And those blood droplets, I like that. I especially got a man, I got fired up when I saw those blood droplets were falling to the ground. To the ground on the earth. Can you say amen to that? That was the first place where the blood of Jesus was shed, and the blood hit the earth. Isn't that cool? Now I wonder, being a carpenter, he probably cut his finger once in a while, wouldn't you say? Got a splinter and got some blood out. But there was something different after he exposed himself to who he was when he went to go see John the Baptist. Now his ministry has started, and now the blood that is flowing through his veins has a purpose. Woo! Yeah. And you know, and I like this book of Hebrews. I love that. How many like the book of Hebrews? Not everybody, you know, they say they don't. I mean, we're not real sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Is that correct? Is that right? But I would say Paul, myself. I said it has to be Paul. It has to be. But that's just me. You don't have to. Well, Henry says it's Paul. Don't do that. Don't just say Henry. I believe it's Paul. I do, and because he is making a connection between the Old Testament and what Jesus is doing. Such a beautiful connection when he goes here. He starts to go into this, and I want to go into this a little bit for you. And he says, which was a figure for the time then present, which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. See, God is not only after your soul, but he's also after your conscience, the way you think. Can you say amen? And so, which stood only in meats and drinks and different washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of what? Reformation. God's going to reform something. Can you say amen to that? Woo! And he says, but I like this first part in verse 11, but Christ. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor, say, but Christ. Amen. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come. Oh, I like that. I'm going to sit on this a little bit. How many of you are expecting good things to come? Yeah, see, God, Jesus is he is the one, it says, the high priest of good things to come. See, sometimes people forget about that God is doing things for them. They don't realize. You might not realize how much good things God has for you, but he's bringing them to you if you'll just trust him. Can you say amen to that? If you will believe him, his whole thing is, will you believe me? Will you believe me? Do you believe me? Expect good things to come. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you, you're expecting good things to come and somebody cusses you out. What happens? Whoa, good things. It's a good thing they cuss me out. Amen? Because the first time you might cuss them back. Is that right? The second time you might cuss them again. The third time, God's already been dealing with you, so you stop me. He's like, okay, cuss away, bro. Go ahead, chew me out. And then after that, say, hey, man, it doesn't matter what you say about me. So you see, God will give you good things to come. Amen. Where you have control over this thing we call our spirit, soul, and body. Can you say amen to that? God wants you in control, under his control. Can you say amen to that? Oh, don't think that you get control. He wants you to control under his control. And his control is the only control. Can you say amen to that? For to him are all things, and through him are all things. To him belongs the glory. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. How many say, man, Pastor Henry, I still got needs for some control in my life? How many say that? None of you? Okay. Well, I'm the one that probably needs that. I don't know. Because sometimes, I will tell you, sometimes. Anyway, I better shut up right there. Glory to God. He says, for Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Now it's talking, switching from the earthly tabernacle to that tabernacle that's sitting right in front of God. God the Father. He says, it's a tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And then verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This is where he did not go into the earthly tabernacle where the priests were at. Is that right? When he died, he didn't go immediately to the Father. Do you know where he went when he died? Where? He was down in hell. Why was he in hell, everybody? Because what? Because of our sins. Come on, y'all. He was in hell because of our sins. He was paying the price of the sin of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not go to hell. Is that right?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Yes.
Come on. That's
yes.
He went 3 days, and he knew that God said, that he said, God will not allow me to see corruption. I will come alive. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Can I tell you, when he went to hell, you might not realize it. You probably don't remember it, because I don't remember it either, but you went to hell with him. Because he took your sin and he paid for it. And when he rose from the dead, guess what? You rose with him. Come on.
Yeah.
You got to get this. Come on, y'all. I mean, somebody should be jumping. I'm just kidding. Don't worry. I'll jump for all of you. I'll start with Tommy. There's one. Rachel. There's Billy. No, come on, man. This is where Jesus went in to that place in heaven with his own blood.
Yes.
And he spread it on the mercy seat where God says, I no longer look at sin. It's been paid for. Can I tell you that? Do you need to hear this, that your sin is washed away. It's gone. There's a thing called the blood of the blood of sprinkling. You know what that's for? You know what that is? That was sprinkled all through your life. The blood of sprinkling went and hit you 2 weeks from now when you go cuss that guy out. You're already clean. You're already washed. See, there's not a lot of religions that are going to tell you this, but see, you're already made perfect.
Praise God.
But not because of who you are, but because who dwells in you.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Yeah, there is no way Henry could be perfect. Except for Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Oh, come on, man. This thing is more encompassing. This is bigger than we even realize what it is, folks. It really is. It really is. Christ being come the high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. He says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, the Old Testament, we're talking about the New Testament now. How much more, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You see, the blood of Jesus does so much more than wash away your sins. The blood of Jesus, it says here that it will purge your conscience. I'm gonna I'm gonna take the middle section out of that last word, the part that says, "Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God." I want you to read it. That when we take that little piece out of there, just for the moment, just to get the idea of what the writer is talking about. He says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" You see that? That blood that he shed and he poured on that mercy seat is designed to purge you, to clean you up. Can you say amen to that? How many of you want to be clean? How many want to be purged? The Bible says the pure in heart, the purged, will see God. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. I want to see him. Hallelujah. I've seen a few things, but something I have not seen that I want to see, I want to see my King. You know what? I've even looked at some scriptures where I said, when they saw him, what did they do? Boom, they fell out. Man, I said, yeah, I'll go for that. But I'm seeing you, Lord. If I see you, I'll fall out. I said, Lord, show me your face, Lord. Show me your face, God. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works? How does he purge it? How does God purge your conscience? Hallelujah. I want to, this is what the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 16. I probably wrote that down here wrong. Here. That's a good scripture, by the way. Yeah, but that's not the one I'm looking for. Sorry. Yeah. Proverbs 16, verse 6. It says, "By mercy and by truth, iniquity is purged." You see that? Mercy. You see, I'm going to tell you, mercy and grace are two very different things. Can I tell you that? I was told that grace is, what's that saying, John? Man, what's that? Grace, yeah, unmerited favor. Thank you, is that what you said? Yeah. Yeah, I was always taught that when I was growing up in the Lord. And so, grace is unmerited favor, and I believe it is too. But I'm going to tell you, mercy is more of a merited favor. Mercy is unmerited favor on you. Can you say amen to that? But grace is something totally different. Grace is the Spirit of God. It says you're under the influence. You become under the influence of the Spirit of God. That's what grace is. The Bible says you were saved by grace. That grace was that you became under the influence of the Spirit of God. You might not have known it, but he was pulling you in by his grace, which is the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? So the grace and mercy, there are two very different things. But it says by mercy, unmerited favor, if you will, and truth, he purges your conscience. That's what it says. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Isn't that cool? He purges you. I want to take you to Matthew chapter... it's John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I want to show you in the King James, the word purged is right here. And it says, Jesus says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman." Right?
That's right.
And he says, "Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Yes. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it." Amen? "That it may bring forth more fruit." How do we purge today? How do we make a tree bring forth more fruit today? What do we do to it? What do we call it? We prune it. Is that right? Prune. And God, Jesus, why didn't you say prune? You're the vine. You're gonna prune. Yeah. You're gonna prune that vine, God. Come on, I think you picked the wrong word. If you ask me, should have been purge. What do you mean purge? Oh, he's real. He knows exactly what he said. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. He said, I mean purge. Terry, did I give you this? I didn't give you this. Did I give you the meaning of this? Yeah, I did. Thank you. Purge in the Greek is kathiro. Everybody say kathiro. Sounds like Kathy, doesn't it? There, kathiro. Purge. Purge. And it means to cleanse of filth and purity. To prune trees and vines of useless shoots. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you, the body of Christ today, I could say we could all use some pruning. Amen? Because God's desiring fruit to come forth. Can you say amen? Jesus says later on, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you're going to ask what you will and it'll be done for you. For this glorifies my Father that you bring forth what? Much fruit. Can you say amen to that? Much fruit. So can you admit that we need to be pruned? If the fruit's not being showing up, we need to be pruned. Come on, man. Hallelujah. don't get mad because I tell you this, okay? I'm gonna tell you that. Well, you know, or better yet, I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm sorry. How's that? But I'm not sorry. I will. Let me just say this to you. We walk around with an old mindset that God only fits in this way, where God says, "No, I'm new. I can show you that I never change, but I have programmed this world to follow what I say." Can you say amen to that? Everything that He says is true. Is that right? Everything is true. So we have some old mindsets that we think the devil is after us. That needs to be clipped off. That's the mindset. That is not the mindset of the kingdom. The kingdom doesn't talk that way. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The kingdom never talks that way. The kingdom is not in a position where it has to be fighting battles. Can you say amen to that? It's all done. Jesus did everything that we need. And see, he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. You already have it. It's already within you. You need healing. It's already in you. He placed it in you. It's there via the Holy Ghost. It's there. We have a mindset that we have to run off to a doctor and let them tell us what's going on. We need to let that pruning happen there. Let it happen. Let God tell you what's going on. I don't believe. I've talked to Pastor John. I said, man, you know what? I am intending to minister not only to my grandchildren, but to their children, and to their children, and to their children, and to their children. Because the Bible says that we have life and life more abundant. I will tell you today, you need to listen and then don't believe me, but go home and check it, okay? How's that sound? How's that sound? Amen. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 8, says this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You got to understand what he's saying. You got to understand that we are in a kingdom that has no death. We're in a kingdom that has no sickness. And if sickness is coming on you, or weakness, or lack of sleep, whatever, that's contrary to the kingdom, say, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. There is no reason why I should be going through this except for the fact that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to the purpose. Hallelujah. Folks, we are in a new day. We are in a new season. And the season is that the saints possess the kingdom. Not up there, down here on earth as it is in heaven. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need some things clipped. We need the way we speak. We will speak what we believe. And when we speak what we believe, you're going to realize, ah, man, I got to get that clipped. Can you say amen? I need pruning, Lord. Prune me, Lord. How many say, yeah, come on. Are you ready to be pruned? Hallelujah. See, I don't know what's going on in your lives. I don't know. But I have heard some of you talk. And immediately, I realize God is doing a work. Because he's, you know what he does? He shows me things and he says, okay, I'm going to take you down this aisle. And I want you to look at these things. Oh, God, why don't you just tell him? You know why he doesn't just tell you? Because we are seed. We are seed. We place seed out. And the Holy Spirit will water it if it's good seed. Can you say amen to that? And it's that seed that comes out that will change your life, where he will purge your conscience from dead works. Can you say amen to that? The blood will purge you, will clip you to make you fit for the master's use. Can you say amen to that? That's what he desires. He wants fruit out of you.
Yes.
Quit fighting him. When he tells you to do something, just do it. If he says pray, just pray.
Amen.
If he says give, just give. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Can I tell you? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, I know some of your wallets might be shaking right now. This is not a time to give you. But I will tell you, he tells us that if you give abundantly, what's going to happen? You're going to receive abundantly. According to what you give is how you're going to receive. You want to receive abundantly? Start giving abundantly. If you're down to your last $20, $20 is as abundant as you can get. Give it. Can you say amen? And watch what God will do. All he's asking, believe me. Believe me. That's all he's asking. Believe in the Lord your God. And you will be established. Can you say amen to that? He will show you. Hallelujah. Whew. Oh, yeah, the life is in the blood. Oh. How much time we got? Keep going. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Is that you, Clint? I love you, bro. Hey, Luke 17:21 says that the kingdom is in you. How many of you really believe that? How many believe that? The kingdom is in you. Do you know that there is no separation of time or distance between you and God? The kingdom is in you. He's there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever you're doing that you might think you're getting away with, whatever it is You might think that God's not watching you, he's not seeing you, but he's watching you. He's right there. He's right there. You might be a secret. You might be a secret, what do they call it, kleptomaniac? I'm just going to use that, okay? Maybe you're a secret kleptomaniac. A maniac that's klepto. Is that cool? I'm crazy about it. I don't care what it is. Just let me take it. Yeah. I want it. Folks, sin is an overrunning of me in your life. That's what it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. It is a me focus. That's what sin is. Do you know that? It's a me focus. It's on me. Well, they didn't talk to me right, so I hate them. Huh. It's all you died and you rose again with Christ, a new creation. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus, it prunes. It purges the vessel. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Can I tell you that your vessel is in your hand? That's what the scripture tells us. Your soul is in your hand. Because do you notice that you can think something bad about somebody and you don't get zapped right away? Have you ever noticed that?
Amen.
You can cuss somebody out and right away you don't get zapped. Is that right? Why is that? Because he loves you. He's already bought you and paid for you. But I will guarantee you he's going to take it out of you. The servant doesn't last long in here. The servant of sin doesn't last long because Christ is in you and he will run him out. Is that right? He will purge him. I think that the quicker you respond to the purging, the quicker it gets out. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Yes.
Come on, man. He's already washed you clean.
Amen.
You just don't realize it yet. If you realize what he has for you, the good things to come, you quit doing what you were doing. You'd quit. You'd quit making excuses for why you do it. Is that right? Come on, folks. I just want to be real. How many want to be real? I want to be truthful. We make excuses for why we do things that are contrary to God. We really do. Well, it's because of this. Well, it's because of that. Well, you know, I can't live without it. Whatever. I can't live without it. Whatever it is, we make excuses for it rather than talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I come to you. I need a purging. I need to be clean. I need to take that out of me. Because he desires to touch the world today, and he desires to use us for that purpose. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
This kingdom is rising. It really is. And God is calling on his saints to possess that kingdom and move it forward. Can you say amen to that? Hey, could you rise? Could you stand up? Rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. I know one thing. If there's anything I know this, that God has placed something on your heart today. Something captured you today in this thing. Can you say amen to that? Every one of us, if you were listening, something captured you today. You understood it, and you, okay. I would say take that that God has given you and go to him and say, Lord, show me, show me, show me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Show me, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We ask you, Father, that you continue, Lord. Whew. Father, to overwhelm us with your presence. Overwhelm us, Father God. In every area of our life, God, overwhelm us. Show us, lead us, teach us, instruct us, Lord, into what your will is for our lives and the lives of those around us. Thank you for it, Father. I pray, God, that you would, Father God, continue, Lord, to move this body of Christ, the kingdom of God, not just this church, but all over the earth, Lord. Move it up and forward, Lord, not going back, but going forward in what you have for all of us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hug somebody. Tell them, thanks for coming to church today. Good to see you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.